Amen. Good morning. Good to see everybody out today. Amen. I appreciate your continued prayers on my behalf as I continue to recuperate and recover, and I'm trying to ease back into things slowly but surely. Amazingly, this is only going to be my third time preaching since the surgery, but I am excited to be able to be here and be in the house of God. You don't know how hard it is for me to sit down there and to watch Brother Jeff up here and to watch the choir. That's difficult, amen. Watch Pastor White. I'm thinking, I can do that. I can do it. I can do it, Lord. And as soon as I get up to make one wrong move, I'm right back in the hospital, amen. The doctor already told me that you can't get animated in your preaching. So that's like asking a dog not to bark, amen. So I can't do that. And so he kept me down for as long as he could, but praise God. I'm glad to be here this morning. I'm glad you're here as well. Continue to pray for Andy Anton. He's had some difficulties going back and forth to the doctors, and Brother Anton is here with us today. Brother, give us a quick word on how he's doing. Amen. Amen. Keep praying for Andy as well up there in Colorado. Take your Bibles, turn them over to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter 5. Only going to read one verse again, verse number 14, continuing where we left off last week, dealing with our theme for the year, shining God's light with all of our might. Shining God's light with all of our might. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Many of you should have that memorized already because it is the verse of the month, which you should be quoting next Sunday. Amen. Matthew 5, 14 should be very, very easy for most of us. Amen. Matthew 5 and verse number 14. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Any omies? Amen. All right. Let's read verse 14 together. One very simple verse. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Amen. We looked at the first portion of that last week. We'll look at a little bit more of that today. And as we look at Matthew 5:14 a bit more, we notice that not only are we the light, but we are the light of the world. I'm so glad we've got missionaries with us today, because that's pretty much what we're going to be talking about. How can we be the light of the world? Well, I'm glad you asked. Missions. I know y'all say, well, I didn't know we were worldly people. Amen. Well, I hope we're not that kind of worldly. Amen. But we are supposed to be the light of the world, the Bible says. And today I want to focus on shining God's light with all of our might with a world view. With a world view, and that is seeing our light can make a difference in the world, no matter how small, no matter how unique, no matter how minuscule you may think it is. If it's the light that God gave you, you let it shine, and it will affect the world for the glory of God and the kingdom of God's sake. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much that you've given us the light. And as you've given us the light, Lord, you have asked us to be lights for the entire world the same way that you are. Oh, God, may we not minimize the light that you've given to us, Lord. May we uniquely use the light for your purposes, for your honor, for your glory, Lord, that you would be uplifted. You said if you were lifted up, you'd draw all men to yourself. So, Lord Jesus, I want to lift you up today. I want to lift up your word today, and that you may get the praise, the honor, and the glory. And as we attempt to shine our light to the world, Lord, I pray that we might be more focused on the missions that are at hand, the missionaries that are at hand, and the work that this local church needs to do to let our light shine for the whole entire world to see. Lord, people are in darkness right now, and they need our light, and we just need to shine it wherever we go. And Lord, give us the wisdom today to know how you would have us to shine and how you would have us to be involved. Lord, there's one today lost without Jesus Christ. Help them to realize that they are the current mission field and they need to be born again. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And it is my desire that all men would see the kingdom of God and repent of sins, receive Christ, and Lord, then get to that place called heaven that we all desire to go to. Lord, we thank you and love you for this morning. Give liberty of the Spirit. Use me as your vessel this morning. And may we leave here more encouraged about missions and being a worldwide light for the glory of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Brother Darcell is going to come sing for us.
When I think of all my faults and my failures, when I consider all the times I've let God down, I am humbled by the grace He has extended. I'm amazed at the mercy I have found. I could never earn His love on my own, yet every time I come I am unworthy. I have nothing precious I could give. A broken life is all I have to offer, and yet it is a priceless gift to Him. The bitter marks of sin will never fade away, but I can come before Him unashamed. I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I Am. When He looks at me, He sees the nail-scarred hands that bought my liberty. I stand redeemed. Oh, I stand redeemed by the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I Am. When He looks at me, He sees the nail-scarred hands that bought my liberty. I stand redeemed. I stand redeemed. I stand redeemed.
Amen. Aren't you glad you stand redeemed? Amen. There's no better way to stand before the throne of God than to stand redeemed, not in our own power, not in our own might, but because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Darcel. Appreciate that message and song. Amen. Well, we are going to be talking about missions today. And you know, every time you talk about missions, people always grab their pocketbook and, you know, put their hands on their wallets and start guarding the things of financial wealth, you know. I'm not going to say we're not going to talk about money today, because we are a little bit. But, you know, that ought not be the first thing you think about. The first thing you ought to think about is how you got redeemed. The first thing you ought to think about, what it costs to pay for your salvation. First thing you ought to think about is, hey, look, I stand redeemed because somebody paid the price. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And because of His price that was paid, I do stand redeemed. And by the way, somebody came to you with the gospel, whether it was a mother or a father, a sister, a brother, a friend. Somebody came to you. Somebody was a missionary to you. In other words, somebody let their light shine. Amen. I'm so glad the name of our church is Shining Light Baptist Church. And we endeavor to do that. Shining God's light with all of our might, with a worldview, is the thought for today. And let me just catch you up as to how we got to this point. We started the year off with this theme, shining God's light with all of our might. And the first message that we looked at was this, shining God's light with all of our might with a going away view. Say, preacher, what do you mean a going away view? If you recall, we looked at John 6:67. And Jesus, after preaching the message, turned to the 12 disciples after the multitude had went away. And he challenged them with this word, will ye also go away? And you can't shine your light if you're going to go away. Amen. And we made this point that you may not physically go away, but spiritually and mentally, you can sit in these pews week after week, day after day, and you spiritually have gone away, and mentally you've gone away, and you will physically go away eventually. It's just the way it goes, amen? And so we challenge you at the year's beginning, let your light shine, don't go away. And we had the going away view. And then we looked at something else as well. We looked at shining God's light with a ministerial view. A ministerial view. Say, preacher, we're talking about Hebrews 6:10. We looked at that. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we looked at the view of working and laboring and ministering and understanding that God's not unrighteous to forget. God knows what you're doing. And God is going to make sure that you get rewarded in his good time. And by the way, his times are not our times. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways all the time. We've got to be in the mind of Christ. And so I challenge you to let your light shine and don't give up. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. It's going to get tough sometimes. It's not going to always be easy. Things are going to break down. You're going to get sick. You're going to have surgeries. Amen. Like me. You're going to have setbacks. And you may not be 100% physical. Amen. But that should never affect your spiritual. You can always be 100% spiritual. Amen. No matter what the physical does. And so we challenge you with that. And then last week we looked at shining God's light with all of our might with an individual view. And Jesus said, ye are the light. And we looked at our light has a personal touch because Jesus said, ye are, belongs to you and you alone. Then we found that it's got a purposeful touch as well. He said, ye are the light. You're to illuminate, to expose. And I bought out a whole bunch of different lights last week and had them out here, turned off all the lights. And we began to notice something about the lights. The lights were different from each other. You're different from the person sitting next to you. But yet and still, guess what? God's given you a light to shine. And you may not shine like the person next to you, but you still shine. And we looked at all these different lights that we bought out last week. And they were all different, but they all had one common quality. They all shine light. Or grammatically, they shone light. I mean, you're grammar experts out here. Amen. Don't expect this sermon to be grammatically perfect because it won't. I do say ain't, amen? And so we brought out some of those lights. And so from that standpoint, I challenge you to use your individual light. And by the way, when we looked at those lights, we looked at the laser light. You know, something unique about the laser light. You can see it just as well with the lights on as with the lights off. Brother Fred, turn those lights off back there. And so with this laser light, you can see it just as good with the lights on. I'll turn them off. I'll turn them back on. And so it's got a unique quality. You know, all lights aren't that way. Some lights you can't see during the daytime. You turn them on, you go outside, you turn on your light and go outside, and it'll be non-effective. How many of y'all have cars with that, what they call DRL, daytime running lights? And your lights just stay on all the time. And does it help you see during the day? Doesn't help you see during the day. But you know what it does? It lets other people see you. So although it doesn't help you see, it helps people see you. And so there are some lights that although it doesn't seem like it's doing any good, somebody sees your light. So there are all sorts of different types of lights. And no two lights are really the same or equipped or used for the same things. And by the way, we would be out there without this type of light that you can see in the daytime. How many of you ever seen a stoplight? Say, I saw it, I just ignored it, amen. But y'all seen a yellow light? I saw one, I just ran past it, amen. So you seen a red light, hopefully you stopped for that one, amen. But you know what? With a stoplight, you can see it just as well at daytime than you can at night, just like a laser light.
The camping light, if I take that outside, you can't see it as good. The flashlight, the key light, the pen light, the desk light that I bought out last week, you can't see those. But a stoplight, you can see. A laser light, you can see. What am I saying? Some lights are different for different reasons. They can be seen in the daytime and in the nighttime. For the most of what you and I are going to do, guess what? Our light's going to be used in darkness.
Yes, sir, it is.
By the way, you know, this may come as a surprise, but we really didn't come to church to shine our light.
No, we did.
Why? We should all have the light. We should be shining light outside. Now, I'm not saying that it's not going to have an effect inside the house of God, because it does. But the bulk of where our light's going to be used is going to be outside. And so Jesus had them all up there on this mountain. He's beginning to preach to them, and he's beginning to say, hey, look, ye and ye alone are unique, and you are equipped with a light. And you are the light of the world.
Amen.
You're the light of the world. And can you imagine their faces sitting there looking around like, us? We? The light, the world? The world's a pretty big place. How are we going to do that? Easy. Missions. Missions. And so Jesus, as he has done so much before, has done something. And notice in verse number 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him in verse 1. Verse 2 says this, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, may I preface the message by saying this. If you don't get along with Jesus Christ first thing in the morning, get something from him. What do you have to shine? What do you have to give? What do you have to show? Not much. You need to get. You need to let Jesus speak to you. You need to let him teach you. You need to let him talk to you a little bit, amen. You can't go off of yesterday's manna. You need new manna. I trust the devil's going to come with you with some new stuff. And so if you come out with yesterday's old stale bread, guess what? You're going to miss the boat. You need to get with Jesus and let Jesus teach you some things. He began to teach an attitude and a mindset and a mentality that they needed to have. And only the saved could have it. He never told you how to get saved in the Sermon on the Mount. But he said, this is the way saved people ought to act, and how to walk and how to talk and how to do everything. This is the mentality that saved people ought to have.
Amen.
By the way, you do well by going back to read over this to see, do I have that mentality? And I mentioned this last week. You can try to live that in the flesh, and you might do a pretty good job, but you still won't go to heaven. Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I mean, you've got to be born again. And so you can try to live this way, but you cannot. So Jesus preached to them here in chapter number 5, 6, and 7, giving them the way that his Christian disciples ought to live. And again, he never stated how to be saved, but he did say this is how Christian folk ought to walk. And then he comes down in verses 13, 14, and 15. He says, we're salt and we're light. And I told you last week, salt is the moral preservation that we ought to be in a spoiled world. And light is the spiritual illumination that we ought to be in a dark world. That's how we should be. When we go into a place, it should not get worse. Y'all with me? I know some folks, some Christians get in there and it get worse when they come in. It's like, ho, 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 whoa. It shouldn't have gotten worse. It should have gotten more stable. It should have gotten more spiritual. It should have gotten more illuminated with your presence. Some foolishness should have stopped. And then the Christians in there, what the foolishness would have done? Oh, no, no, trying to put on the wig. Oh, no, put that thing on. Put that on. Oh, let's watch that. Let's drink this. Let's smoke that. And it's gotten worse. No, we should be moral preservation and spiritual illumination as salt and as light. I mentioned last week of all the I am statements that Jesus said, the only one that he equated to us was the light. He said he was the bread of life, the light of the world, the door, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life and the vine. But then he said, but you are the light of the world like I am the light. Notice, well, you don't have to go there, but John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus was telling them individually, they as well as we are the light for the entire world. And that's a tall order. That's a tall order. But you know what? We can do it. Brother Hall just went back to North Carolina. Guess what he was in North Carolina? A light. A light. The Jacksons are going over to Canada. Guess where they're going to be over there? A light. Canada's a part of the world, just as much as North Carolina's a part of the world. Amen. And so because Jesus is light, we are too, and he left us his light for the world to see. And I'm going to be talking about missions today, and so I hope you don't say, well, you know, why we got to talk about missions? Because the heartbeat of God is missions.
Yes, sir.
The heartbeat of this church is missions. If it weren't for missions, this church wouldn't be. Pastor White mentioned about Founders Day. If it wasn't for the grace of God sending Pastor Nelson to plant Bethel Baptist Church, I would have never become out to plant this church. Guess what did it? Missions. And so if you don't understand missions, then I tell you, you've not been listening lately. Amen. Because together we fulfill our purpose for God through our local church and our communities and our jobs and our sports. And as we travel around the world, I still think about two individuals that I had a part in them getting saved when I was in Europe. One was named Saki. Carmen knows who I'm talking about as well. His first name is so hard to pronounce, we just called him Saki. It was Thessalonikis Saki, something like that. He was a Greek guy. And he got saved, and guess where Saki is at right now? In Greece. Amen. Guess what he's doing? Preaching. There's another guy, Franz Moyman, a Dutch guy. I got a chance to lead him to the Lord. Guess where Franz is at right now? Back in Holland. What is he doing? He's in church spreading the gospel.
Amen.
Now, how'd that happen? Because somebody gave Brother Tilly the gospel. Brother Tilly went to Belgium, and in Belgium, Pastor Bennett got called to preach, and in Belgium, I got saved, and in Belgium, I got saved and went to Franz Moyman, and I went to Frank Herndon, who went to Saki, who both of them went back to the Netherlands and Greece. What is that? For the world. The light of the world. And that's how it's done. That's how it's always been done. That's how it's always going to get done. By you giving your light to someone else and shining to them so they in turn go somewhere else. And God, respectively, is going to call some people to Canada. He's going to call some people to North Carolina. He's going to call some people to Tucson. Amen. He's going to call some people to Hawaii. Amen. Darcel. Amen. And on and on. But ye are the light of the world. As we go down through here, speaking of the world... The word there is cosmos, and it means orderly arrangement of our planet, including its people. Now, you should have learned this in discipleship training. When the word world is mentioned, it doesn't always mean the globe or the planet in which we live. You learn that in discipleship, and hopefully you've been discipled and you learned that. One of the designations is the planet in which we live. Matt mentioned it earlier. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth the world and they that dwell therein, Psalms 24:1. He mentioned it this morning. Amen. So the planet or the actual earth is one part of what the world means, the word world means. And by the way, did Jesus die for the planet earth, the world itself, the ball? No, he didn't die for the planet itself. But should our light be utilized for the good of this world, of this planet? Yes. Now, I'm not going to go with the environmentalists and say don't cut down trees and don't eat fish and don't do this and don't hunt moose and all this other stuff, you know. But Paul said we can use the world, but don't abuse it. And there are certain things that we do need. And by the way, let me just give you a public service announcement. If you're a Christian, you ought not be no litter bug. You ought not be chucking McDonald's stuff out your window. You ought not be throwing cans out or soda cans. You shouldn't be throwing beer cans. You shouldn't be drinking anyway. You ought not be throwing stuff out. And, you know, if you see something, you should pick it up. That's just plain old cleanliness. Now, I'm not saying I'm one of these advocates for save the planet, because God's going to destroy the planet, amen, as we know it. But I don't want to live in a dirty one. So if you're in my neighborhood, you trash my yard, I'm going to call you out. I've done it before. Some of the neighbor kids out there, hey, pick that up. Don't throw that stuff in my yard. You say, will you shine your light? I said it with grace and dignity. In the way that a 10-year-old can understand. But the world means the planet, the actual earth in which we live. And we should impact the planet for good. But then another designation is the people of the earth. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the what? The world. The world. That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And so another designation of the word world means the people of the world. God loves us, and he sent his son to die for us. And we should impact people for good. Whether they get saved or not, we still should impact them for good. We should still be salt and light to people of the world, whether they get saved or not, whether they're Christians or not. Y'all hear me? I know we say, well, I'm supposed to love my neighbor and hate my enemy. Where'd you get that from? The Old Testament? Jesus came and changed that. You better read the rest of Matthew chapter 5, amen, and keep going. He said, it said before thou should love thy enemy and love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. He said, I changed that. He said, even bless those that persecute you and despitefully use you. You say, preacher, that's a tall order. You need to be saved. Do that. Amen. You say, preacher, that we ain't going there. Amen. As a matter of fact, hold your finger there. I'll show you this. Notice verse 43 in chapter 5. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? If ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So we should affect people positively, whether they're saved or not. We should be salt and light in their lives, whether they have something to give us back or not. Just got a call just the other day, and an individual that had come to this church before called me, broke down, and needed some money. Amen. And Kenny, you know I'm leery on that kind of stuff. I'm always leery on that. Sir, I'm hard-pressed to just go on that, but, you know, I remember the individual, and they were stuck in Florida, and, you know, I wired them some money to help them out. And Kenny, this is at midnight. I had to get up out of my bed, take my pajamas off. I just told Carmen, "Woo, I get a chance to relax." Ring-a-ling-a-ling. Hello? Oh. I'm not going to tell you the story he gave me, but it was not a good one. Not a good one. His mother had just been killed by a drunk driver, and he had to go back for the funeral to Florida, drove back. On his way back from the Florida, car broke down and distraught, and he remembered my number. Didn't have any folks back in Florida because that's where his mom was at, and his dad was already dead. And so he said, the only number I had that I could call was yours. Amen. And everything in me said, Lord, I don't want to do this. Amen. This is midnight, Lord. I don't want to do this. I got to go drive somewhere. I don't want to do this. Amen. And then I went to go do it, and guess what? I couldn't do it because I had no cash. Yeah. And they told me to go to another store. And I thought, drove down to the other store, and I said, can I do it? He said, well, yeah, you can do cash back on your credit card. I said, okay, we'll do that. Then he said, we need a debit card. I thought, why did he die? And all the while, the guy's still calling me. Hey, the bus is leaving in a half hour. Where are you at? I said, I'm trying to get this done for you. But I'm running into brick walls. He said, things can't be that bad. My mother's died. My car broke down. I'm trying to get back to Tucson. What else can go wrong? And I'm thinking the same thing. I was going to bed. I was on Easy Street. And you call me. I got no money. I went to this store and I went to that store. And I'm thinking the same thing. What else could go wrong? Make a long story short, we finally got a chance to get the money wired. Of all places, I had to come back home, use a credit card on the internet. And I finally got to the company and got the money there. And he texts back and said, thank you. He appreciates it. And everything in me said, you know what? We need to be light, even if we get nothing back in return. Do I expect him to pay me back? No, I really don't. Did he say it he was? He didn't say either way. And I didn't put any conditions on him. I didn't say, you better come to church next Sunday, although I thought it. I'm giving you this money. You better come back to church next week. Money's hard to come by. But you know what? I thought, you know, if I am going to be true to this passage, ye are the light of the world, I need to shine. Whether people respond to my light or not. Why? God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love. Hey, he said, which ye have showed toward his name, and are you minister and do minister? And so we've got to let our light shine so that people can see Jesus Christ in us. And so the planet is one aspect of it. The people is another aspect. And there's another designation of the word world in the Bible. And that is the program of world affairs led by Satan. It's that circle of earthly goods and riches and pleasures which are hollow, frail, and fleeting, yet they stir a desire to seduce people from doing the will of God, yes, even Christians. The world will seduce you. It's designed to appease and appeal to your flesh, to draw you in, and it becomes an obstacle to the cause of Christ. And this is a tragedy. one of the leading things of the world now amongst young men and young adult men between ages of 16 and about 45 is video games and pornography and technology over the waves. Can you imagine that? That is one of the vices of the world that Satan has gotten. He's gotten his hooks into this pornography ring and to this video ring and to the young men are just playing this thing at the detriment to their own families, detriment of their jobs, the detriment of their relationships. They'll stay up all night and go to work dead dog beat tired with bags under their eyes up playing a game against somebody across the street on the internet. Wow. I remember going to the men's conference. I told you guys about that and I asked the preacher, the evangelist, I said, what's one of the things that you've counseled with the most over your trails? And he said, video games. Is what he's counseled the most on young men and young adult men. And you guys may look surprised, but I asked a teenager several years ago, hey, what'd you do all summer? You know what the teenager said? I played video games. And I did a double take. I said, every day, all day on your school break, you played video games? And he kind of embarrassingly said, yes. I said, let me get this straight. You got out of school in May, and until you went back to school, you was on video games every day. That's how I get started. Get hooked on that stuff. Pornography, same way. You get hooked on that stuff. Hey, hear me now. The world is enticing to your flesh, and what you desire, the world has it. And the world wants to draw you in so that your life becomes obscure and becomes dim and becomes ineffectual, I should say. To the people that you need to shine it to the most. And so the world has those designations. And by the way, we still are in the world, but we're not of the world if we're born again. By the way, if you're saved, let me give you this. If you're saved, you ought to be uncomfortable in the world. I'm talking about Satan's regime and Satan's realm of things, his world affairs. You ought to be as uncomfortable in there as somebody in a bull ring with a bull with a red target on your chest. You ought not be. If you're comfortable, I check whether you're saved. You may be like Lot. You may be severely backslidden. But you ought not be comfortable in that type of environment. And so when you go into the world, you should be like, oh, man, I can't wait to get out of here. Can't wait to get out of here. Hey, it starts young children. There are certain programs we don't let our children watch. And I take them over to the barbershop to get their hair cut. And when certain programs are on, I'll go to the barber and say, can we turn that to something that's more suitable to children? And I've said that on many occasions. And guess what? There are other people that are watching it too. I'm like, look, I don't have to come and get my boy's hair cut here. I didn't get mine cut either. But I can go someplace else. And so if you're not going to accommodate me and my children for this little 45 minutes to an hour that we're going to be here, then I can best go someplace else. Gotten to the place now, we'll go in there and a program will be on and G2 or Joshua will pipe up and say, can we turn that station to something else? That's not appropriate for us. Hallelujah. I don't have to say it for them. They'll say it already. Hey, we don't need to watch that. That's not good for us. You know what the barber will say sometime? You're right. You don't need to watch that. Yeah, man. What am I saying? Light and salt. Hey, the light's got to come in and shed some light on the darkness. Why? Hey, you got this. Is this a horrid program on that's got all this nudity and sexuality? My kids don't need to see that. No, they don't, Pastor. They don't. So they got to the point now. They said, can we have Tom and Jerry? And that's violent, too, just in a different way. Can we have Bugs Bunny? Can we have Roadrunner Coyote or something like that? We ought to be uncomfortable. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father is not in him. So we've got the planet, which is called the world. We've got the people, which is called the world. And the program, World Affairs, led by Satan, called the world. And we should be light to every one of them in different ways and different fashions. But Jesus came to shed light on the lost, the people of the world, most of all. And Jesus was speaking of our light being primarily to the people of the world. And we are the only light for the world to see. Individually, we should shine as God has enabled us. There was a situation just recently where this individual worked with a Christian, and the Christian was a bad testimony. And the Christian actually stabbed him in the back. And I was talking with the individual, and he knows I'm a pastor, and he said, I don't know a whole lot. He said, but Christians aren't supposed to act like that. He said, they're not supposed to do those type of things. I said, you know, we're all sinners. I said, but you're right. I said, they shouldn't do that. But we are still all sinners at our best. And then people wonder why people like him aren't saved. Because of the light that he saw. Now, praise God, I'm in his life, and so I shed a different light on him, and he asks me questions all the time. And I'm praying that he's going to get saved one of these days real soon. Amen. But we're the only light for the world to see, and individually we can shine like God has enabled us, uniquely equipped for us to shine. But how can we be the light of the entire world? Collectively, we form the church of individual lights, which God utilizes to send us globally with our finances and our resources. By the way, collectively, we come into this church to get refueled and recharged. We get our lights refueled here. We get our cells built up, so to speak. We come in here on Wednesdays, we're broke down, we're battered, we're bruised, amen. We've had things happen, and we just need to get picked back up, just need to get recharged. And that's what the Word of God does. And so individually, we are lights. Collectively, we are lights, and we globally come together, pool our resources, and go worldwide for the entire world to see. Why? So we can obey Jesus' command. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. He said the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and ye shall be witness to me, both Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts. What is that? The world. The world. Over the next few minutes, let me just give you four quick things that I think we need to be reminded of, because we are the light of the world. By the way, hold your finger there. Go to John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. We are the light of the world. But in John chapter number 3, of course, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. And he preaches about John 3, 16 and 17 and 18. And then he comes down to verse number 18, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. What is it, Lord? That light is come into the world. Who is that light from? Jesus Christ. And who does it pass down to? You and I. And notice this, and men love darkness rather than what? Light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. How many of y'all look at your speedometer as soon as you see a cop? If you're honest, you do, unless you're creeping. You're creeping. How many of y'all come to a complete stop when you see a cop? How many of y'all put on brakes at the yellow light when you see a cop across the way? If that cop wasn't there, you get caught by the speed camera. Amen. But what makes the difference? The light of the cop. It makes you take that foot off that gas pedal. It makes you not run that yellow light. It makes you not do that California roll or Tucson roll, whatever state you're in, amen. Notice what he says here, verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. Why? Lest his deeds should be reproved. That's why it's hard for you to get your unsaved friends to come to church. They know if they come to church, there's a bunch of light in here, and they're in darkness, and they're going to feel uncomfortable around you. That's the way I felt. My wife and I walked in that church, and it seemed like everybody had a halo around their heads. And I had a pitchfork and a tail. And I'm sitting up in the front. I'm thinking they all looking at my tail, wagging up back here, looking at my horns on my head. But I'm not turning around to see none of them. I'm just going to keep my pitchfork up here with me. And as the preacher began to preach, guess what? More of my darkness began to be exposed, and it began to be exposed and exposed. And I saw what I had in my hand. I saw that tail. I saw those things. I said, glory to God. I'm going to hell. Looked like I already been there anyway. Amen. I thought everybody in there was holy and righteous, and I was the only one wicked. Later on, my wife said she felt the same way I felt. And we thought, man, once that sermon got finished, I said, if these righteous people would go away, I'd go ahead and get saved, but I don't want them to know how wicked I am. But they wouldn't go away. And so I said, well, I'll just turn my back on them and go up here and talk to this preacher. And I ain't looking at them at all. And I kept my back to the people the whole time. Preacher, what's this stuff about heaven and hell? He said, you want to get saved? I don't want to go to hell. He said, we'll get somebody to show you. And I'm thinking, well, I really don't want to look at these people, but amen. Which one? That one right there. Okay, I just kept my head down and walked down to the back. I ain't look at nobody. I didn't want to say why. I was in darkness and it had light. Light should expose. It should make you feel uncomfortable in sin. A Christian cannot be comfortable if he's a Christian in sin. Hey, it said it vexed Lot's righteous soul. As bad as Lot was, he still felt bad on the inside. And my friend, you should never feel good in the world. And by the way, I tell you how you can judge your meter. Another Christian comes by and you don't feel so good. You could be a little shady. Could be a little bit darkness there. Another Christian comes by and you feel convicted and you feel bad. Could be some problems there. And I'm not saying there are. I'm saying it could be. Maybe some bitterness you're holding on to, some unforgiveness, you know, some guile, some deceit. You know, one of those things could be kind of hiding out in there. And they shone their light on you. Now you're convicted. And then you blame them. Every time I come around this Jerry Duffy, she always makes me feel uncomfortable. I'll just go over here to Leah. Leah never says anything about my sin. Why has it got to be her? Just because she shined the light on you. Hey, we'll say, ye are the light. Give you these things here real quick, amen. By the way, this is going to be nothing new, so it's going to be relatively quick. It's amazing that we sang the song this morning at the choir, Use Me, because that's what we're talking about. There are four basic things that we can do to enable our light to be the light for the world. When he says, ye are the light of the world. To make it more effective, individually we need to let it shine. Collectively we need to be in a local church, but then globally we need to send it around. And so what can we do to help that out? Four quick things. Number one, we can continue our faith promise giving. Continue our faith promise giving. We've got a goal up here, not up here, but out there, of $70,000+. And many have already given towards that. $24,000 we've got so far. That means somebody is continuing their faith promise giving. Amen. By the way, to go around the world, it takes finances. How many of you ever gone on a trip lately? Brother, you just flew to North Carolina, right? It cost you probably about over $1,000 for all y'all to fly, didn't it? Missionaries going to Canada. It's going to cost them even more to go to Canada. Guess what? Missionaries need money. Where do we get the idea they don't need money? Where do we get the idea is all they need is our prayer? Now, they do need our prayers, but they need money too. God uses you. What does it say? Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure you meet will always be measured to you again. Amen. So God uses men. Amen. When you go on a trip, you go to Disneyland or someplace like that, it costs you money. Amen. Our missionaries require financing to be able to go and carry the gospel where we're not able to go. And by the way, we've got missionaries out there that are hurting. I was just talking to Pastor White about Tico Agamalian. He's one of our missionaries, and he's coming back here to the States. He'll be with us in May. And he was ministering in Lithuania, and now he's over in Russia. And he sent a letter back saying, you know, if his he's got less than 50 churches. He said if all of his 50 churches would just give him $20 a month, that would meet their need. Just $20 a month. Now, some of y'all go to McDonald's and spend that in one night. $20. Now, he said $20. Now, let me read something that he wrote in his email. We would like to make a proposal, which admittedly, we are very reluctant to do. How many of y'all like to go into your boss and ask your boss for a raise? How many have ever done it? Did it feel comfortable? What's the word that you don't want to hear? No. My mother trained me well. She said, boy, you better ask. The worst they can say is no. You've been in the same boat. I've heard no a whole lot of times in my life. But I've heard a whole lot of yeses, too. And so he said, we're very reluctant to do this. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't like to ask it either. He says, with the overall member number of our supporting churches being close to 50, we would ask you to prayerfully consider a possibility of raising our support amount to an additional $20 per month. And right now, we give them $100, that'd be $120. If all our churches are able to do that, the goal of raising our financial deficit will be met. Currently, we're at 87% of our needed financial goal. By the way, if we and the other churches do that, it will save him time of going to other new churches, and he can come back to the old church and give a report. And he can say, God is good, and by the way, we should increase his money. By the way, does the cost of living keep going up every year? I don't remember it going down. And guess what? Our missionaries, we need to look at our missionaries and say, okay, what can we do? I talked to Pastor White about this over the past several years. I said, look, one of these years, I said, I just want to go through and raise up all of our missionaries. I said, we're not going to take on no new missionaries. We'll raise them all up. We'll raise them all up and get them up. Now, we may be the only ones doing it. But guess what? At least I'll know here we're doing what it takes to help them out. Amen. Why? They're out there for us. They're out there doing the will of God for us. Why? God said go everywhere. And so we've got to continue faithfully giving to missions. Amen. I know it gets hard. I know times come up and vehicles break down and things happen. But I'm still a firm believer that given it shall be given. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And again, this is not nothing that we don't already know. We know these things already because we are a missions-hearted church. But I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't quit, amen? We should be constantly taking on new missionaries. I understand that. But don't forget the old one. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, notice verse number 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Paul said the Christians were begging us to get involved in this. And notice what he says, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desire Titus, as he had begun so, he would also finish in you the same grace also. He said, look, I want you to get this thing done, and I want you to get this money collected. Notice down there in verse number 9, for you know, verse 8, I speak not by commandment. You don't have to do it. He said, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. He said, you don't have to do it, but it shows how much you love God's program. It shows how much you love souls. It shows how much you love God. It shows how much you are willing to put out for others. Is it going to be a sacrifice? Yes, sometimes it is. Hey, was it a sacrifice for me to go out the other night? Yes, it was. Will I see the reward on this side of heaven? I might not, but guess what? God saw it. That's all that matters. It says it proves the sincerity of your love. Verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Our giving ought to always come back to that. It ought to, what did Jesus do for you? It ought to always come back to Jesus Christ. What did he do for you? Well, those Christians over there didn't do anything for me, but what did Jesus do for you? Well, those folks over there, but what did Jesus do for you? But what did Jesus do for you? And if Jesus did it, then do it in Jesus' name, for Jesus' sake, and for Jesus' honor, and for Jesus' glory, and Jesus will repay you later. Amen. Notice what it says down there, verse 10. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also before a year ago. Now, therefore, notice it, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. He said, do it, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted. According to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. He said, I'm not asking you to give what you don't have. He said, I'm asking you to give out of what you do. Amen. Hey, sacrifice for what out of what you do have. I think we can do that. So number one, what can we do to help get our light around the world? Continue with our faith promise giving. Amen. And by the way, we must continue to give weekly to obey God's command of getting the gospel around the world because we are the light of the world. Number two, consistently and faithfully pass out gospel tracts, telling people about Jesus Christ, knocking on doors, preaching the gospel to every creature. As we're sending the light around the world, don't forget about our own Jerusalem. Amen. Now, sometimes it's easy to give to missions because now I don't have to confront anybody. Amen. Sometimes it's good to send Alfred King up to Earl Valley. It's good to have Brother Kramer up in Catalina. Good to have Brother Manuel up in Phoenix. But now if it comes down to my Jerusalem, I've got to knock on somebody's door. I've got to talk to somebody face to face. I've got to get up front and close and personal. Ye are the light. They're not going to see without you. The same way you can't see without some light. They are depending on you. I remember when I was in Europe, and I couldn't speak the language, but I always went with my gospel tracts so that I could give them out to people of the language. And how many of y'all know the song, People Need the Lord? I would look in some of the Europeans' eyes, and that song says, every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people, filled with cares, headed who knows where. On they go through private pain, living fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cry. Only Jesus hears. And I used to look at those Europeans and I'd say, man, look at them. But then I came back to the States and I saw the same look in Americans. Sometimes it's worse because we are in the land of plenty. And yet I'd still see that same look in Americans' eyes. And everywhere I go, I mean, if you're like me, I just want to talk to everybody. And I know I just don't have time. If I had my way, I'd stop and talk to every person, but I'm like, oh, I got to go here, and I got to do this. If you're not careful, you get so caught up in what you got to do, I forget what you should do, and that's talk to people. We should consistently and faithfully pass out the gospel in our Jerusalem, our Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world. We should be active in soul winning with the church, on our jobs, during our activities. The connotation of go ye therefore has the idea of as you are going, be a witness as you are going. As you have the opportunities, look for opportunities. Share the gospel locally. But then number three, not just continue our faith promise giving, consistently and faithfully pass out the gospel. Be consistently and faithfully preparing to go. Say, preacher, I'm not called, but you ought to be prepared to go. Amen. By the way, God calls people that he know is getting prepared.
That's right.
Amen. 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 Matt's in the military. Amen. Matt, you got to have your bags always packed, don't you? Pastor White, got to have those bags always packed when he's in the military, right? Brother Serge, had that bag already packed. What is that signifying? I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And not only am I ready to go, I've been prepared to go because I've gone through military training. I've gone through chemical warfare. I've gone through a series of trainings that the military has sent me through. I'm prepared to go. And I'm ready to go. Hey, there may be a war. They may need some hospital people. Brother Pinkston may have to go. You know what that's like, Brother Pinkston, right? Be ready to go. Got your bags packed. We should be consistently and faithfully preparing to go. We may not be called to go around the world, but we should be faithfully preparing to go. By the way, that's the whole idea behind military training. Always preparing to go and ready to go. How do you think we have been such a military might all these years? Preparation. Preparing to go. And ready to go, and then deploying and going. Amen. Isaiah 6:8, he said this, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. By the way, if you're ready to go and prepared to go, but at the same time prepared to stay, God just might send you. I did not volunteer to come back to Tucson. Was I prepared to come? Yes, I was. Was I ready to come? Yes, I was. Did I want to come? No, I didn't. But just like you get assignments, Matt, I got overridden by a higher authority. God said, I know you're prepared to go. I know you're ready to go. And I know you don't want to go, but you're going. My wife said, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And I said, woe is me. I am undone and unclean. God has not heard my prayer to leave me in Belgium.
Amen.
Hey, what am I saying? We're consistently and faithfully preparing to go. We may not be called to go, but we should be ready to go. And then lastly, be constantly and faithfully praying for those who have gone. Be constantly and faithfully praying for those who have gone. Go over to Ephesians chapter 6 with me. Ephesians chapter 6. How are we going to be the lights of the world? Continue our faith promise giving. Consistently and faithfully pass out the gospel. Be consistently and faithfully preparing to go. Then lastly, be constantly and faithfully praying for those who have gone. Paul says this in verse number 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul said, you know what? We need to pray for all saints. But he said, you know what? Specifically pray for me. He said, I want to be able to open my mouth boldly. I want to make known the mystery of the gospel. I'm an ambassador. I'm sent from another place representing God Almighty. And he said, pray for me. This last one, I will be honest with you, is where I struggle the most. And that's praying constantly and faithfully for those missionaries who we have represented out there on that board. This is the one area where I struggle at. I normally don't miss a payment of my faith promise giving. I'm prepared and ready to go. I'm constantly trying to pass out tracts and tell people the gospel. But this is the one Achilles heel for me. I always start out with a good plan of prayer, and sooner or later, other things come up, and you know what? I fall off the prayer just a little bit. I don't pray as faithfully as I used to. I don't pray as consistently as I used to. because other things come up. For me, it's a constant seesaw battle of ups and downs. And that's why I'm so glad we have a Wednesday night prayer time. If I don't pray any other time, I can come into the prayer meeting, get me a prayer bulletin. Mrs. Norton's got a missionary of the week. And she systematically goes through every one. If I'm here every prayer meeting, every Wednesday night, I've got me a missionary I can pray for every Wednesday night. If I don't pray any other time, I can pray on Wednesday. Why? I know how busy life can be. I know how you have your plans. And I know how things come up. And that's why it's important to individually let your light shine. Collectively come into the local church so that we can pray for our missionaries that are globally taking the gospel. So the prayer meeting is important. Oh, don't skate out on prayer time. Oh, praise God, that's the most important part. We got to have prayer. I know some folks say, well, I got to go and do this. And I understand sometimes that happens. But don't make it a habit of leaving prayer time. Say, preacher, I know you're going to preach and you're going to get done at 7 o'clock and I'm out of here. No, no, no. Paul said, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. The missionary is only going to be as bold as you and I pray for them to be. I may make known the mystery of the gospel, which I'm an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly. You don't pray for anything else on that prayer list. You ought to pray for the missionaries. That's the heartbeat of God. You say, well, I'm praying for sister so-and-so and brother so-and-so. They're already saved. They don't need the light of that kind of light. They just need a healing. But the people out there, the missionary taking the gospel, they need your prayers in a totally different way. So if you don't pray for anything else on Wednesday night, pray for the missionary. Why? We are the light of the world. Our missionaries are going to be as successful as we are, as we financially back them and as we prayerfully back them. Oh, don't skate out on the prayer time. Please don't skate out on the prayer time. Well, preacher, I can pray just as easy at home, and you may be able to, but it's not like being collectively in the house of God. It's just not the same. You go home, you're going to want to wash the dishes. Put the kids in the bed. Before you know it, you say, now I lay me down to sleep. Lord, bless my missionaries. No, when you're here, you're with another Christian. You can hear their heart. And you can hear their prayers. You can say, amen, Lord. Oh, bless our missionaries. Help them with Satan's attacks. Lord, I know if they're a mom, they're going through the same things I am. If they're a dad, they're going through the same things that I'm going through. They've got sick children. They've got attacks on every side. They've got illnesses. And they've got family members back over here. And you know what I'm talking about. What am I saying? Pray. This is the one area that I know I'm weak at. I know I'm weak at it, but I do praise God for the Wednesday night where I can pray systematically because I know it's going to be presented right before me. Individually, we should shine. Collectively, we should shine in the local church. And then globally, we should shine. How? Giving to missions, giving consistently, giving the gospel constantly, going if God calls, and then praying for those who have gone. Why? So they can shed light in a dark area. You were in darkness at one time. As the song says, I was blind, but now I see. And for no other reason, shine because somebody helped you to see. Of course, do it for the love of Jesus, but if nobody else shines, you ought to shine. Men love darkness, and we are the light. You know, God never called the unsaved to come to church. He told us to go to the unsaved. Get them saved, bring them in the church. Don't expect them to come here. And when they come, expect them to be uncomfortable. So we need to make them as welcome as we can because they're already uncomfortable. So they got tattoos up one side and down the other and got piercings here and got purple hair and green hair. Don't look at them like they're from another planet. They're from planet Earth. They may not look like it, but they are. You know, if your kids start turning around, Mommy, look at them. You know, you don't do that. Teach your kids. Don't point to that. You know, girls come in here all tattooed up and dresses up to here and showing everything they ought to. Don't try not to look, men, as much as you can. Amen. But don't signal them out. The boys come in with their britches hanging off their bottoms. Don't single them out. You know, hey, they already feel uncomfortable as it is. Love them. Love them. Give them the gospel. Treat them with kindness. Let your light shine. It's easy to be critical. It's easy to cast a stone. It's easy. But then guess what? They'll go right back into darkness. And what do they need? Your light. Jesus said, ye are the light and the light of the entire world. How's your light today? How's your light today? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. Four simple things continue our faith promise giving. Consistently and faithfully pass out gospel. Consistently and faithfully prepare to go. And lastly, constantly and faithfully pray for those who have gone. I don't know where you fall at in those categories. Maybe you're getting a little weary in your giving. Maybe you're getting a little weary in giving out the gospel. Maybe you're getting a little weary in preparing to go and being faithful each week. Maybe you're getting a little weary in your prayers. May I remind you of Hebrews 6:10, for God, it's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Don't give up. Maybe there's an area of weakness that you have in one of those areas, and perhaps you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and get it right. Maybe you've been critical of some people coming into church. Maybe you're uncomfortable even right now because of some sin in your life. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar. Maybe God's calling you to a mission field of his choice. Maybe God's calling you to preach. Maybe God wants you to do something specifically for him to shine your individual light. Oh, don't try to shine like someone else. Shine as God has given you the ability to shine. Don't try to carbon copy or be a copycat Christian. Be the Christian God's called you to be individually. Then bring that light into the local church. And locally we can shine. Then get involved in missions. And globally we can take the gospel around the world. Father, bless now this invitation that your glory would shine through in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around. Maybe God's spoken to your heart today. Maybe you need to get saved. Maybe you've never known about this thing called eternal life. Let me remind you, the Bible says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Say, preacher, I'm not perfect. No one is. All of us have come short of the glory of God. Without Jesus Christ's precious blood on your life, without your repentance, without your admittance of who and what you are before God, without receiving Jesus Christ, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And so you must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, the Bible says. Man, woman, boy, or girl, I don't care who you are, you need to be saved today. And if you are saved, Jesus said, ye are the light. And he said, ye are the light of the entire world. And so how are you individually? How are you collectively involved in the church? And how are you globally in getting the gospel? What are you doing? I pray you would do your part. As Charmaine begins to play, let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. As Charmaine plays softly, maybe God spoke in your heart about an area. You know my problem already. My problem is the prayer part. I know I've got to get better at praying. I always start with a good plan. Sooner or later, I end up falling off, backing up because of other things. How's your light today? Ye are the light. How's your light at your job? How's your light in your home? How's your light in your community? How's your light in the church? How's your light with relatives? How's your light with friends? How's it in your sporting events? Say, preacher, I feel uncomfortable today. Maybe you need to come down and talk to Jesus. Song, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. Maybe you need to just tell it to Jesus today. Maybe there's something hindering you today. Maybe you say, preacher, I believe God's calling me to preach. I believe God's calling me to the missions field. God, I believe God's got his hand on my life, and I need to be preparing and ready to go. Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Maybe just getting a little weary and giving you faith promise. You know, we plan on increasing Tico Agamalian's support by that $20 and then probably a little bit more. We do plan on going back over our other missionaries, raising them up a bit. We can't do it all, but we can do something. We can let our light shine. But you know, we can't do it unless we individually decide to do it and then collectively pool our resources together and then globally send it around the world where our missionaries are at. That's one less thing they've got to worry about. One less church they've got to worry about. Financially, we're meeting their needs. And then prayerfully, we're meeting their needs. One less thing the missionary has to worry about. One less thing. Where are you at today? Continue our faith promise giving. Consistently and faithfully pass out the gospel. Telling, giving tracts. Consistently and faithfully preparing to go. Constantly and faithfully praying for those who have gone. How about it today? Are you here today without Jesus Christ? Maybe you need to be saved. Please don't leave. Maybe you'll be like I was. I tried to wait till everybody left, and I went to the preacher and said, "Preacher, I need to be saved. It's this heaven and hell stuff, but I'm unsure of my future. There's a real possibility that I may die and go to hell, and I don't want that." And I dealt with it that day. Oh, don't leave until you deal with it. Father, thank you for your goodness. Lord, we pray that you would minister in our hearts. Lord, help us to recognize the ability that we have as individual lights and the capacity that we have to shine uniquely. Then, Lord, bringing that light into the local church, and then, Lord, pooling our resources so that we can globally shine to the entire world through our missions program. And thank you that the heartbeat of God has always been people and missions. Lord, may our heartbeat always be to see more and more missionaries have their needs met. Well, thank you for your goodness, Lord. And I pray you would dismiss us with a blessing. Bring us back tonight. We may look at Psalms for the soul and enjoy. Lord, that one heart that's wavering in the balance, that one heart that's uncomfortable, Lord, bring them that lasting peace that only you can bring. And we'll